as far as I'm concerned, Herr Salomon, Mr. Buckingham, the matter is decided before we discuss it. The public will not countenance a Negro composer. It would be like listening to a sermon from a cannibal.
You mean you will not countenance it, Sir Wald?
Let us not descend into bickering, gentlemen, but discuss our opinions calmly and openly.
What is your opinion, then, Herr Salomon? You've yet to tell us what you think of the music.
Well, first, let me press your hand, Mr. Emedy, and yours, Mrs. Emedy. Charmed, I'm sure.
Many thanks, Herr Salomon.
Thank you, sir.
As far as I'm concerned, a man who writes phrases like this and this is a man who could orchestrate the cannons at Trafalgar and turn Austerlitz into a ball. I do not mean to be flippant, gentlemen. What I am saying is that if, Mr. Emedy, you wish to come to London and have your music introduced in public concerts here, I would help you financially and artistically to the utmost of my powers. Well, at least given the help of others.
Thank you, sir.
There, I told you Emedy'd be worth your while coming today.
But here we have a problem. I myself would need support from others in this attempt, and neither you, Sir Auld, nor you, Mr. Betts, seem enthusiastic.
I just think this matter should be considered rationally. I would freely admit that if Mr. Emedy here has written this music, which, of course, we have no reason to doubt, then he is in possession of a prodigious, if raw talent. But although none of us suffer from the prejudice afflicting the swinish multitude of concert-goers, I am acutely aware that, even as enlightened gentlemen, oh, madam, and ladies, of course, we have to acknowledge that this prejudice exists in a large degree.
Come, Mr. Betts, what are you saying?
Well, in short, I am suggesting that the risk for our esteemed colleague might be too much in coming to London. That he has won a secure position in Cornwall, and that here in London, his colour might count too much against him. I fear the risk would be too great, the gain too unlikely. Is this not your opinion, Sir Old?
Indeed it is.
What more was to be expected from a critic?
Listen, Buckingham, here in London, we don't really like our native artists the best of times. But a composer who is native in two senses must be doubly suspect to an uncomprehending public. Such a speculation would be doomed. And I personally, I wash my hands of any attempt.
But it is you who are dooming it yourself, for you keep blaming the public for your own failings.
Mr. Buckingham, please.
But isn't it worth at least trying to bring this music to a wider audience?
There is one way in which the attempt might be made.
Go on, Mr. Betts.
Well, at least for the first season, we could separate the man from his music. I am sure that if audiences had no knowledge of the composer's identity, they might well be amused simply by the music's colourful and oriental effects. In the meantime, we circulate rumours that the composer's identity is even more outrageous than the truth.
That is conceivable.
Such as, for instance, that he is actually a Jewish woman, or that he is an inmate of Bedlam, or that he is one of those freaks who are no higher than my knee, or that he is a freakish Jewish female inmate of Bedlam. Then, when we reveal his actual identity, the public will absorb the shock with a greater degree of equanimity.
Well, I'm sorry, but I cannot countenance such a deception played upon the public.
Nor could I. My God, this is outrageous. What are you all doing, sitting here talking like this, when you're confronted with a genius? A miracle of nature.
A freak of nature, more like.
You're missing the point, Mr. Buckingham. You're forgetting the difficulties we're faced with in this peculiar case.
And you're forgetting what's really important. You're forgetting this remarkable and noble man's art.
I see no nobleman, and nor will anyone else. And as soon as they know the composer's colour, no one will hear the music either. Everyone will hear just noise, just a Jacobin mob.
I think we should remain calm and discuss this subject in a civilised manner.
I see nothing further to discuss. I won't sponsor a futile experiment, and I won't have anything to do with deceiving the public.
That's very amusing, Sir Auld. Not deceive the public, when that is precisely what your government does every day of the year.
Ah, I won't stay here to be insulted. I think it is time we adjourn the meeting.
So we're just going to have to leave things like that? Leave genius in obscurity while mediocrities like you rule England?
How dare you, sir?
Mr. Buckingham, surely there is no need of insult. We all appreciate Mr. Emedy's achievement in the face of... well, in the face of the colour of his face. The issue of his coming to London, however, would more than likely be his financial ruin. He has a secure life in Falmouth. There he has his wife, his children, friends, pupils, and three orchestras to lead.
Ah, and that is quite enough, I tell you, for a nigger. Oh, damn it! Amadeus Mozart was buried in a pauper's grave, but Mr. Joseph Emedy Hell lives on a secure income and provincial fame.
It was people like you who buried Mozart, just like you are burying my friend's music alive. No one will ever forgive you.
Oh, the world is truly upside down. With a Christ-like Mozart being crucified and a Judas pilfering the proceeds.
For God's sake.
No. No, you see what it comes to. They get rid of the slave trade. And we're next expected to set up a nigger's statue with those of Handel and Haydn. I tell you, I will have nothing to do with a doomed attempt to bring this man, whose music is merely pasted together from what other composers have discarded, to London. And somehow he seems to be doing all right for himself among deaf and colourblind bumpkins. In the devil's name, isn't it enough for him that he's got his freedom in our country, along with money, with fame, a family, a wife, whose half-decent attractions have been thrown away upon him? A black ram tupping with a white you,
Sir Auld.
How dare you speak like that in front of a lady? What kind of gentleman are you?
My dear, I think we should leave.
Aren't you going to say anything, Emedy? He's just insulted your wife.
Thank you, Herr Solomon, for your time, my dear.
Thank you, sir.
Emedy, come back.
We've heard enough, James. It's time we went back to Cornwall and music.
How dare you, sir? How dare you speak like that?
This conversation is over.
No, it's not. I demand an apology from you for your treatment of my friend and the way you spoke to Mrs. Emedy.
Oh, I see what this is about. You're in love with a nigger's wife.
For God's sake, Sir Auld. Isn't that enough?
And perhaps she reciprocates. Yeah. I see it now. That is why you are so keen to bring them to London. While he is concertizing, you'll have more freedom to meet behind his black back. London is a city it's easy to be anonymous in, as we've discussed.
I think that's quite enough.
It certainly is. From what you've just said, Sir Auld, I will have to ask you to meet me tomorrow at dawn with your second.
Mr. Buckingham, you have spent too much time at sea. We do not have these life and death pretensions on shore any longer. Well, anyway, I can hardly give the satisfaction of a gentleman to somebody who is blatantly not a gentleman. Good day.
No, not good day. I will see you tomorrow morning, and I will blow your damn brains out.